Hey, welcome into Texans On Tap. We're less than a week out from the draft, and we're here to get you ready as it pertains to your Houston Texans. I'm Brandon Strange alongside Charlie Polillo and Josh Jordan. You can follow them on X at Polillo and at Josh Jordan SCS. Programming note, we recorded this prior to Friday's news that the Texans have signed Will Anderson Jr. to a three-year, $150 million extension. $134 million is guaranteed and includes a no-trade clause. This was that mega extension that we were expecting, but it's still really cool to see Houston do what they do, which is reward their guys. And for all the critiques that you can have about this franchise and how it's run, one thing we can say inarguably is that they take care of their guys, and this is just the latest example of that. He has been a dynamite player for this team, one of, if not the best defenders in the league. I think the best. He's in his prime, only 24 years old, and now he's the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history, surpassing the Micah Parsons and Myles Garrett deals, $50 million per year. Congrats to Anderson for earning that bag, and congrats to the Texans for locking down their guy. And now back to the show. Charlie, Josh, welcome in. Before we get into the draft stuff, a little housekeeping since our last episode. The Texans have picked up free agent tight end Foster Moreau from the Saints. Do you think this maybe changes the way the Texans scheme on offense? Specifically, maybe we see more two tight end formations, given that Moreau is such a good blocker.
I don't think tight end blocking extraordinaire is going to make the tight end position the island of Foster Moreau. How many snaps does he get? We know Dalton Schultz is the pass catching tight end and the safety valve type guy, so it's not like his field time is going to be much reduced.
Yeah, I think it's just they're screaming and telling you exactly what they want to do. They want to be able to run the ball better this year. Foster Moreau, really good run blocking tight end. You look at who they added, Braden Smith. He's a good run blocker for your tackle. Wyatt Teller, he's a good run blocker for guard. They add David Montgomery. They're trying everything they can to up the running game. I think that's what this is all about. They can't let CJ Stroud just sit back there behind a poor offensive line and try and sling it and win football games. And we know if you have a good defense, the best thing to go with that is a good running game. That Bill O'Brien, complimentary football. You remember that was the best time ever as a Texans fan. So that's what they're trying to do. And it makes sense. That's what they should be working on. At least they're showing you that they're trying to address this problem and get it corrected.
One of the tight ends that's kind of been lost in the mix has been Kate Stover, and that's obviously because of health. Do you guys hold out any hope of Stover contributing anything to this team?
Beyond tush push? Look, he was a fourth round pick, so it's not like he's grossly underachieved. I don't see a whole lot of upside. I mean, he was drafted, the CJ Stroud connection at Ohio State. So I just think, you know, the Texans have gone through tight ends, and if Brevin Jordan hadn't blown out a knee, who knows? I think, you know, Stover is supposed to be the guy who could block a little bit. Well, they're bringing in Moreau to address specifically that, as you talked about, Josh. So, you know, it's not like it's house money with Cade Stover, but I wouldn't be investing a whole lot of hope in quantum leap forward in his performance.
No, and he was kind of a project anyway, being drafted at Ohio State. So, and Brevin Jordan, they expect him back healthy. He's under contract, but when's he ever been healthy, guys? It's just, that's one of the things I'm most disappointed with is the tight end room. They did give Dalton Schultz an extension to give themselves some more salary cap space. And he has been one of CJ's top targets, but he's not a super explosive guy. He's kind of a security blanket that can pick up a first down for you, but he's not much of a run blocker. So they could certainly stand to have a really great tight end. But, you know, guys like Travis Kelce in their prime don't grow on trees.
So let's get to the draft here. Texans pick in the first round at 28. Again, this is as it stands right now. In the second round, pick at 38 and 59. Third round at number 69. Where I was looking at Mel Kiper's mock draft, and he has the Texans taking a defensive tackle at 28 and guard at 38. Now, Kiper's rationale in this was that he knows they need interior line help, but he thinks at 28, it's a reach there. So he goes defensive tackle because he says, you know, that could provide them depth. And obviously the thought there is make a strength stronger. And should Hunter go down or Anderson get banged up, they have some depth there. I mean, for a team that's pretty loaded on defense, do you guys share that sort of rationale? Just go best available and bolster the defense there?
To a point. If best available on their draft board is a cornerback, he better be a hell of a lot better than any other player on their draft board if they're going to take a cornerback over an interior defensive lineman, an interior offensive lineman. You know, that they have 28 and as payoff from the Tunsil trade, 38, right? So you're only waiting 10 picks. So if you decide to go one position over another, it's not like there figures to be a tremendous run on everyone else you might have interest in just 10 picks later. Then it's what, another 21 picks to their originally scheduled second round draft choice. Overall, I just think they're in a very good position. They have a Super Bowl worthy defense as it is. We know the Stroud question is overarching on the offensive side of the ball. But with warts, this is a Super Bowl contender because the AFC has eroded. Mahomes will be coming back off an ACL tear and now on the wrong side of 30. And you know what? With Mahomes, their offense the last couple of years hasn't been all that. Lamar Jackson, the Ravens, coaching transition. They lose their all-pro center. Buffalo, will the Bills ever get it done in the postseason? And then who else is there in the AFC that you're thinking, oh, geez, it would be a little football miracle for the Texans to turn out to go farther than that team? So say they're one draft away, if they can kill it with this player or that position, you know, I'm not going to say that, but they're not in dire straits, I don't think, in any area as they go into this draft.
Yeah, and Kuiper's mock, he has all those top tackles being off the board except for one before the Texans pick. And the only one that would be on the board would be Caleb Lomu, which I would be fine with. I want them to grab a tackle here. I think they need to continue to add to the offensive line. They've got a lot of veteran guys that have been injured that are in their 30s. And that's been your biggest problem. Protect C.J. Stroud, be able to run the ball a little bit better. So Max Iannatour, the offensive tackle at Arizona State, Kuiper had him going right before the Texans. But there's a real possibility he could be there. I think that's somebody I would be interested in. I want them to get one of these tackles here. I don't want them to reach. I don't care if it's Spencer Fano or, like I said, or Blake Miller. I doubt he's there. But there's a lot of guys. I don't think Caden Proctor will be there, Monroe Freeling, but I want them to grab one of these guys, even if they have to move up a spot or two. I think it's important. This is the year you finally have to improve the offensive line. And would anybody be surprised if Braden Smith or Wyatt Teller didn't work out? They weren't spectacular last year, and they've dealt with some injuries. You want to build. Put somebody else with Ariante Ursary to get C.J. Stroud going there. So that's where I would go. The defense is great. I don't want to see them spend a top pick there. And I understand that Danielle Hunter's making a lot of money and Will Anderson's going to be making a lot of money. You could add a D tackle. They don't have an extremely super awesome option there, but you've seen that they've been able to piece it together with defensive tackle. You still have Sheldon Rankins, but I understand the draft is sometimes not for this year, but for the next 2 or 3 years. But for me personally, the offense is what needs help. I want them to see them address the offensive line. I'll tell you this, I'd rather them go after like Jadarian Price from Notre Dame, get that running back there. If I can't get one of those offensive linemen I really like with the value, I just don't want to see them end up taking somebody that nobody really has mocked in the first round just for whatever reason. And I'm seeing a lot of that as I look at all these different mock drafts. I want to see him add some offense and get some good value at the same time. And I love the David Montgomery addition, guys. He's going to be 29 years old before the season starts. Running backs, you know, when they turn 30, that's when you start really worrying about them. Would you be surprised if Montgomery had to miss time and then you're back to the Woody Marks show again? Like, no, I don't want to see that. They got to upgrade the offense, in my opinion.
Price would be a wild card pick if he's there at 28. The backup at Notre Dame, he'd have been the starter for probably 90% of Division I teams. Jeremiah Love might go in the top five of the draft. That's how special a prospect he is. So along with Price being explosive on his own merits, not a lot of tread wear used up on his tires with the Fighting Irish. I'm with all you said there, Josh, on the O-line. Now, their resumes blow away what Cam Robinson and Laken Tomlinson brought to the Texans last year. That said, Braden Smith and Wyan Teller have shown decline. Most recently in 2025, Smith over the last couple of years, they're both on the wrong side of 30, injury issues with both. You can't be banking on them, and neither is a long-term play anyway. So another youthful player you hope you can develop if Caserio can finally hit it on a draft choice. You know, Ursary had an all right rookie season, but all his other upper round draft choices, Kenyon Green, Juice Scruggs, bust.
Blake Fisher,
yeah, very iffy. Jumbo package about his only contribution to this point. But I'm okay if they go D tackle on the sliding scale of best player available. They have Sheldon Rankins back. Tommy Togiai in his role had a heck of a season. Togiai is a free agent after this year. And I don't want him going there in the first round, but since they have an early second round pick and then a late second round pick and then a high third round pick, a linebacker, I think, can creep into the mix. Al-Shaair is both expensive and a free agent after 2026. Henry Toto'o, free agent after 2026. So in terms of their team building short midterm horizon, linebacker is a spot they could go for, but certainly as a priority below O-line and D-line.
Yeah, C.J. Allen out of Georgia could be a linebacker they look at that could be there. And then also Anthony Hill Jr. out of Texas, who has a lot of upside, highly athletic. I think LZ had him mocked to the Texans in his mock a month or so ago. So it could certainly be linebacker. That makes sense. D'Amico himself is a linebacker, but I want to focus on the other side of the ball if I can find a player that I think is worth selecting at that spot.
Yeah, I mean, it's very simple. Any Texans fan, really NFL observer, do the Texans have the defense you'd say would be worthy of a Super Bowl champion? Yes. The offense? No. So where do you still need more help, even though they made multiple moves in free agency?
What about, I mean, you know, you talked about it, Charlie. They are smack dab in the middle of their Super Bowl contending window, and they probably get there last year if CJ doesn't melt down in the playoffs. And it is worth reiterating that, like, regardless of what they do in the draft this year, it's all for naught if CJ can't be the man when the lights are the brightest. But so that being said, you guys have talked about what your priorities would be here. I don't want you guys to rehash anything, but look, what would you see as this being a successful draft for the Texans? And then what are some X factors you're going to be looking for in this draft?
To me, success is all after the fact. When barring a trade up, you know, if your top pick is 28, you're certainly expecting an immediate contributor. And at least as a depth contributor, I want that out of 38. That's a high second round draft choice. But obviously on the defensive side of the ball, it's next to impossible for any rookie to come in here and command major snaps unless the Texans run into injury issues. So at least one young offensive lineman, even if he's not necessarily a meaningful player in 2026, but that he projects to be so beyond that as you're building out. And I mentioned a couple of their pending free agents. Davis Mills is up after 2026. So in the mid rounds, if there's a quarterback they like in case CJ melts down or they need a replacement backup, that Davis Mills, after banking $14 million for 2 years, hits a market, which next year in free agency, I mean, typically good starting quarterbacks don't get to free agency. And hence, you see Malik Willis. What has he got? 3 starts in the NFL and he gets $67 million from the Miami Dolphins. Davis Mills, by just avoiding some cataclysmic performance or injury, could be positioned to go get a starter's job for a meh team and get really paid. So, you know, you want to have a Graham Mertz or a rookie quarterback as CJ's backup in 2027. Again, no earlier than, say, fourth round, but maybe that's something they keep in mind also.
Yeah, they're also, you'll see a lot of mocks that have them perhaps going with a guard, which, you know, a little less value with the guard than with the tackle in the draft. So perhaps you could grab that guy in the second round. like Keelan Rutledge out of Georgia Tech is a guard that a lot of people like. I've seen him mocked to the Texans. Also Chase Besantis out of A&M. He's another guard. But for value, if I can get one of these top tackles in the first round, I'd like to see him go that way. An X factor for me, Brandon's receiver. I mean, Tank Dell, Nick Caserio just talked about it the other day. We're getting no timeline for him. Nick's just basically saying taking it day by day. There's
he could
no,
be cut.
Yeah, we have no
idea. $3.5 million in cap savings. The way his contract was structured, he's going into the last year of his rookie deal. You're going to pay him $3.6 million to hope that he's right?
Yeah, and Hutchinson, too. I think he's going into the final year of his deal as well. So receiver could be somewhere where they look. And we know Nico, he hadn't made it through a season healthy in his entire career. So you're really counting on Jalen Knoll and Jaden Higgins to take that next step. They didn't go out and grab a veteran like Stephon Diggs or Christian Kirk this year. So, and it's not like we talked about the tight end room. That's nothing to write home about. So CJ needs some weapons, not just offensive line. You know, it's not going to be perfect where everybody's healthy this year and everybody plays up to their potential or takes a step forward. There's going to be some bumps in the road. So that's why I think it's really important to attack the offense, because I know the defense is going to be good.
Charlie, let's put a bow on it. Final thoughts before we're out the door on this episode.
As we talked about when we convened after the flurry of free agency, the Texans incurred no significant loss. Jacksonville did on each side of the ball. Indianapolis just seems in flux, and Daniel Jones at $47 million per season. Good luck with that, Indy. And the Titans, they're still so far away. And Cam Ward, are they going to get him weapons, a competent offensive line? They're just not to be taken seriously. So the Texans, I think, are in a position to be the favorite in the AFC South. All due respect to Jacksonville, Jacksonville having gone 13-4. But as this is the last year of C.J. Stroud being relatively cheap, that combined with does C.J. Stroud restore his status in the league, this team really could be on the cusp of finally getting to at least an AFC championship game. And I know it's a pretty high standard, but you know, this is the 25th season for the franchise. And I mean, who really cares that the name's going back to Reliant Stadium? It's about what's on the field, not the name of the field or the stadium. But they're so overdue, as the only damn franchise in the league never get to the NFL's Final Four. It's not literally, if not this season, when? But if not this season, when?
Exactly. And as great as it is that they've gone to the playoffs these last 3 years, won a game, great. But you haven't taken that next step. You haven't been a real true contender in the AFC, because you hear so much, oh, they got to get one at home. Well, why do they have to get one at home? Because you want that defense. You don't feel like they can go on the road and win a big game. They haven't been very good at that. Just look at that Seattle game last year. But that's a good measuring stick, right? That's what it takes to win a Super Bowl. You brought up Jacksonville. My point being, just kind of bring it back home to the offense. Look what Jacksonville has. Trevor Lawrence with Liam Cohen. He took a big step this next year or last year, and he could take another step. They think that that's going to happen him in that offense the second year. And look what he has: Parker Washington, Travis Hunter, Brian Thomas Jr., Brenton Strange. Look at all those great weapons they have for Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence. I know they lost their running back in ETN or Achan, whatever he wants to be called now, but that is a loaded offense. So the Texans, sometimes you have to outscore somebody. You're not always going to win with defense. Look at that New England game. Defense gave up some touchdowns. You needed some points, and they weren't able to deliver.
And to expound upon what you guys are talking about, it's just so rare in the NFL to see a team be the same at the same level, not make any steps forward or back for three consecutive seasons. And that's usually a product of the draft being able to rebuild quickly, or free agency, like an atrophy of talent to other teams that are willing to pay top dollar for free agents. So Texans have to capitalize on this window right now. You rarely get this sort of championship contending window And they have to strike while the iron's hot because, man, if we look back on this and they did not capitalize on this all-world defense, it's going to be such a disappointment for the city of Houston. But hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully they do strike while the iron's hot and we'll be along for the ride all season. That's going to be it for this episode. But one last reminder, speaking along for the ride, we're going to be live after the picks on night one and on night two after the third round pick. So we'll see how it all shakes out because obviously there could be some trades, but just make sure that you're subscribe to the channel with those notifications on. That's your best bet of knowing when we're going to go live. And if you listen on podcasts, give us a 5-star rating while you're here. For Charlie and Josh, I'm Brandon saying thanks for joining us. And as always, go Texans.